Here we go, hour two. Welcome, welcome to hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you for one more hour. Anything you need on, about, around your home, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. You can text in a question to that number as well, and we'll try and get your text question on the air. Also, any way you want to get it in, we'll take it. We'll see what we can do to help you out. And while we wait, I do want to kind of finish up on the window company to install text question and installation question we had talked about in the last hour of what are the factors to consider for the window type, color, how do you select actual windows? But I can tell you, selecting the company and selecting the installation type is going to be the biggest factor in making sure you get these windows as best as you can installed, no leaks, no air, really to work out. You could take one of the best energy efficient, insulated, like best window on the market, and if you don't insulate it well, if you don't seal it well, if it leaks, if air is getting around it, it's just not going to serve that purpose very well. And I can tell you, I years ago, I went to kind of a exterior home little kind of show meet and greet at one of our suppliers. It was a good 15 years ago or something. And the owner of the supply company was there, and he asked me if I would come along. So I said, okay. And, you know, I was there and people were looking at different types of windows and siding and all this stuff. And he was not far away. And this couple walked up and asked me about windows, replacing windows. And they said, the question I think that came out was, what type of window would I recommend installing? And I answered that with a question and said, well, my first question to figure that out would be, what type of siding is on the exterior of your home? What is the exterior of your home? Is it vinyl siding? Is it wood siding? Is it Hardy? Is it brick? Is it? And they were kind of like, oh, wow, okay, well, it's this. And then so we had this whole conversation, and the owner of this supply company comes up to me afterwards and was like, that was the most interesting thing I've ever heard, because anyone else that was selling windows at an event like that would have started immediately talking about the type of window that they sell. Well, I would recommend wood clad, and here's why, against vinyl, because vinyl can this and that, and this can do that, and ours has this rating, and it's great. And they go into all this stuff about the window, but no one really looks at the installation and the best way to get that window put in. So when you look at the three types of window installation, the most standard and the most often used type of installation in replacing a window is the pocket fit, what they call replacement installation, where you basically remove the sashes from the windows, you leave the frame, you fit a whole new window inside that frame, caulk it on the inside. It can lead to some pretty good sized caulk joints on the inside. And it can also, on the outside, your window just got smaller to fit inside that existing frame. So when you look through that window, you lose visible glass because you've got a frame, and then a sash. So what you're looking through gets smaller. But then on the outside, you got this big gap that they'll cover with metal. They'll put some fiberglass insulation in there, cover it with metal, caulk it to the window, caulk it to the siding, and you are 100% reliant on that caulk to keep out any wind, any water, any moisture, any rain. Wind-driven rains hitting the siding can get in through that and can cause leaks. We see it a lot on the side of the home that gets the most wind-driven rain. So the second way they do it is They go ahead and remove that frame. So they take it out. They take out the sashes. They pry the frame out and leave the siding on the house. And then they put in a window. So it's a little bit wider. You get a little bit more glass view, but you get the exact same thing from the outside because the siding remained. They're going to put a smaller piece of metal, and then they're going to caulk it to the window and to the J channel, and then you're done. And I've actually seen them firsthand where they didn't even get caulked. And you can pull the J channel back, and you can see inside, and you can see the framing members. You can see the fiberglass insulation that they shoved in there. And you're just looking at the inside framing structure members of the home. So the best way to do this is to actually remove the siding. If you have vinyl siding, it can come down. You take off the J channels and peel the siding back enough. You put in a window that has window fins, nailing fins. You nail it to the wall. You wrap flash tape. You get everything in place. You cover the sill with the tape that wraps down at the bottom. You have tape around the other three sides. Then from the inside, you can use low expansion foam because all the frame, everything's out, to go around that window and completely seal that 100% airtight is the best way to insulate and seal in a new window. So you can take a mediocre window and make it as good as a good window by having it installed better. Then you put your siding back on the outside, you retrim, paint, do all that on the inside, and you've got a whole new system that actually works. So the questions that come about, and what I would ask people is like, what's your warranty? You're going to typically get like a 12-month, one-year warranty on a window pocket fit installation. Ask open-ended questions like, well, does your warranty, does that consider leaks as well? If this window ended up leaking, would your warranty cover that? Don't ask them, if you're interviewing companies that are going to install windows, don't ask them if they will do something. Ask them what they do. Just ask them, well, how do you install a window? And see what they say. Do they talk about different ways? Do they try and let them teach you the information? If you ask them, well, will you take off the siding and install a window like this? They might just say yes without really knowing if they'll do it, or do they know how to do it? Do they know how to do it really well? Have they ever actually installed windows that way? Has their window guy ever actually taken siding off a house or not? There's differences there. And so try not to guide anybody, but let them deliver the information of what they do for you so that you now understand. If you ask somebody if they can do something, they will probably say yes, whether they've ever done it or know how to do it at all. They will just try and figure it out. And I don't know that you want to be the crash test dummy for the window installation that someone's never done. So it is very, very important on how these windows go in. And the other thing I would recommend is go to Tyvek House Wrap's website, go to Window Manufacturer's website, go to the Zip System website. That's another exterior product of what they put on the outside, the exterior of new build homes. Go to these websites and look up how they say to install windows. Go to Anderson or Marvin or Pella's or look at these websites and see how they're recommending these windows get installed from the manufacturers of these exterior products or of these windows, and you will be surprised of what it takes and what should be done. And you'll be even more surprised when you find out how much of that is not done during replacement windows. And why? Because yes, it is harder to do that. It's harder to retrofit. They do this with, you know, during new builds, think of a sump pump. it's easier to put in a sump pump system when you build a house than it is to retrofit one after the concrete's in the basement floor already. It's easier to put in a radon system when you build a house than it is once the house is totally built, done, and you're looking for location and doing, and you're drilling through concrete to get it done. You can plan for it and make it very easy. Well, replacement windows, it's always going to be the hard way. So you got to find the person that knows how to do it the best way. And then talk about like a 10-year workmanship warranty when done the correct way that will include that window leaking. And if it does, it will get corrected. So how long are you going to be in your house? What are you looking about getting out of these window replacements, and how well do you want it? And then once you found the company and the right install and you're very comfortable, that's when I would start to really look at, now what's my window? Is it a vinyl window? Because the whole neighborhood's vinyl, and there's some really great vinyl windows out there that have great warranties that will last just as long as any other window that they're putting out there on the market that is going to work out fine. You can go to the wood clads. You can do the fiberglass, the composite. You can find the right styles that work for your house. But like I was talking earlier about the house I visited, it was out in Illinois. It was built, and they put everything too tight around these fiberglass windows, and now these fiberglass windows are trying to move, and they're not operating correctly because they can't move, and they're pinched in there. And they're expanding, and the windows just will not operate correctly. And it's because of how they installed everything around these windows and didn't follow the manufacturer's specifications on what type of space and gaps you should have to allow these windows to do what they need to do. So sometimes it doesn't matter with the wrong installation, it will never matter how good that window is. With the right installation, then you can figure out how good do you want that window to be, and then you'll get your lasting value out of it. So, hey, we're going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more to come. 314-436-7900 finds me in the next segment. We'll have more home improvement right after this. Jorge here, Home Improvement Show on KMOX. 314-436-7900 is the direct line to find me. Phone lines are wide open. What do you got going on about or around your house? What's happening? You having a New Year's Eve party? Are you looking to get things ready for everybody? Boy, there's a lot going on. Big weekend. A lot of Christmas celebrating still happening with that just a couple of days ago. I know everybody's busy and you got a lot to do around your house. So what are you finding out? What are you seeing? Again, 314-436-7900. Call or text. Get your questions in and we'll see what we can do to help. And I tell you, something I wanted to touch on too is, and I've had a couple different people ask me different things from time to time, just about kind of the time of year. And a question I get quite a bit is what if there was one thing or one fix that I would advise everyone do in January when New Year starts? What's the one thing you should, if there was one main thing you could pay attention to on your home, what would that be? And you know, for me, it's the simplest. It's not like this great sexy project or anything. I'm not going to say remodel your bathroom or anything. It's about keeping up with the maintenance of the home and what's going on kind of during that time frame. So take 5 minutes, inspect your heating system, and replace your furnace filter. That's going to be my one fix for January. If you're going to do one thing in the month of January, make sure things are working well. Make sure your filter is clean. Now, I know it's not very exciting. It's not a kitchen remodel or a new deck, but this is one small step that has kind of a huge ripple effect on the comfort, safety, and your energy bills, to say the least. So if you start just with the filter during winter in St. Louis, your furnace runs more than any other system in the home. If the filter gets clogged, you can have your airflow drop. You can, you know, your furnace is going to work harder. Your energy bill is going to go up. Your rooms can heat unevenly. So if you have some that are kind of colder than others, and it can just wear out the system faster overall. So I've seen systems, air conditioners, furnaces fail simply because they couldn't breathe properly. And January is the perfect time to replace that filter because it's right after the holiday season. You've probably had a lot going on, a lot of guests, a lot of in and outs. Now you're going to have your house kind of closed up. You're not going to have it real open. So it's kind of recirculating all that air and recleaning all that air. So you're going to have more dust and everything getting in there. And we're headed into the coldest part of winter. So once you've changed those furnace filters, now you just want to take a few minutes and just kind of inspect things. No tools required. This is kind of what I'm always preaching about the whole house is like, just look, just take a look, just see if something seems out of place. So your furnace starts running, stand next to it. And while it's running, and just listen, is there any rattling, banging, squeaking? Is it cycling on and off? Like, just be there while it's running. If it's doing that too often, it's not running right. So it's a good thing just to make sure. If you get down there and you notice that there's a weird noise, you don't need to know how to fix the weird noise to know that it's time to call the professional and say, yeah, I should probably get that looked at before it comes a bigger problem. And then you want to make sure that nothing's stored too close to the furnace, that all your return vents, that none of them are blocked. Make sure the exhaust pipe looks clean, secure. There's not a lot going on with it. If you have a high-efficiency furnace, you can just kind of walk and check that PVC intake and exhaust pipes. Make sure they go out, that they all look connected right still. Make sure there's nothing on the outside blocking them, that snow ice buildup around them, that nothing like that is happening to block those off. Don't stack anything or store anything real close. You don't want to push your grill right up against that or something like that. You want to make sure that area is clear for that to get all the air that it needs. And then another bonus for January is going to be to check all those carbon monoxide detectors, because January is the peak carbon CO risk season. Homes are sealed tight. Furnaces are running constantly. Fireplaces get used. So you should test those alarms, replace the batteries. If they're 7 to 10 years old, just replace the whole unit. They do go bad. You just want to get new ones. Don't keep them more than 10 years for sure. This isn't just maintenance either. This is safety. So when people ask me, what's the one thing I should do for my house in January? That's what I'm talking about. The furnace filter, make sure things sound okay. Check those carbon monoxide detectors, make sure that they're working. And in the end, these small little fixes that you do will make you more comfortable. They'll help your wallet, your equipment, and your whole family be comfortable. So, hey, let's see in the next segment if we can get these phone lines going for you. Don't hesitate to call in and ask whatever you have going on. 314-436-7900. We'll get into our middle hour break here, and we'll have plenty more home improvement when we return. Welcome back. Welcome back. Plenty home improvement time for everybody. 314-436-7900 finds me. Call or text. We'll see if we can get your question either live on the air, or I'll answer your text question on the air if we could get to it. So, hey, we've got Jason on the line. Let's go straight to Jason and see what's going on. How can we help you?
Okay, so I have a furnace, right, and it kicks on, And it started last winter, but I didn't do anything over the summer. That's my fault, I know. But so it kicks on, and then it'll kick off. And then the second time, if it kicks on too soon, you'll hear it go woof, like light up, and then it'll go woof, right out. And then it'll run and go through the cycle again, and then it'll kick on again, woof, and the flame will be going, and then it'll woof, just all of a sudden go off again before once the blower kicks on. But then you wait like 15, 20 minutes and then try to turn it on again, and it'll come on again.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it could be something with the igniter not working every time to get it to actually ignite when it's trying to kick on.
Somebody told me that there was like a little bar or something that sticks up in the front of the flame, and it lets like the sensor know that there's a flame there or something, and that could be corroded maybe. I haven't got in there, and I don't know if I should even get in there or not, but...
Yeah, there's the thermocouple is another thing that, like, you cleaning that sometimes helps that. It's kind of like they have them by the igniters too when they're just a regular igniter. So yeah, it's something like that, not letting that furnace start up right. And I mean, if it were me, even with all that I kind of know and understand, I do little without the guidance of my HVAC person that I use. I have done some small things when he was like basic, and it basically told him what to repair is. He's like, take this part out, clean it, put it back in, see if it runs. And then if it does, I'll know what part to bring with me when I come to take care of it or whatever. I would definitely recommend just getting
HVAC somebody out there to check it out.
Company to come out, check it, make sure, because it could be a couple things like that with either the igniter or that, and definitely that's a good time to get a professional on there to just make sure that they get it right, especially because if you think it breaks down. Yeah, well, and they only break down when it's freezing cold out.
Right.
So that's the thing is like, yeah, do it soon. Yep. Every time. And yep, you'll be a lot better off. So.
My procrastination is going to lead to my freezing my bum off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yep. No problem, Jason. If you need a recommendation, you can call our office at Mosby Building Arts, and they can guide you to an HVAC company that we use. That number is 314-909-1800, and they can help kind of spread the word on what we're doing inside of Mosby and everything else. So appreciate the call and the question, Jason. Let's jump over to Rich and see what's happening with Rich. Hey, how you doing? Rich,
good.
It's
how
Rich.
Are you?
I'm good.
Hey, listen, I'm thinking it's maybe water in the line. If I turn the shower on, when I turn it off, I hear a big noise, but it's very loud noise, and it runs for a little bit, and then it quits.
So
coming from downstairs in the pipes or somewhere.
So when you run the shower, it's fine,
well,
when you
shut it off, right.
You hear the noise?
Right.
And is it kind of like a banging type of noise or something like that?
It's not really a banging. It's like a loud noise. Yep. And then it flutters on. It's like a float or something hitting, and then it shuts off. Boom.
Yeah. So that's a tough one because it's probably air in the line somehow.
That's what I'm thinking. There's air in the line.
Yeah. And kind of flushing out that system and refilling it should take care of that. Put the air back where it goes. If you have air chambers that hold air and they get filled with water and that air gets in the lines, that could do that. So what that system flush does is it'll refill the air chambers that are supposed to have air with air, because you want
How would I do that?
You basically just flush your system. So you turn the water off and you drain your system down. You open all the lines, open the faucet that's like the lowest. If you have a sink or a bathroom right. in the basement or something. You open those up and you open the whole house and you let the water drain.
So okay, you're so basically you shut it off filling at the main it with is what air. You're saying shut it off at the main to show
yep.
do that
and drain okay. the lines down and then shut everything back off. Slowly turn it back on. You don't want to just crank it full force, but slowly turn it back on and let it start filling up. It'll push all that air back into the air chambers, and then once you turn on each faucet, it'll spit all the excess air out and fill everything back up with water. So I would start with that to okay. see if that takes care of it. And if that doesn't take care of it, then it could be something with the shower valve, with the actual like cartridge in the valve. But usually that's more of like a kind of whistling noise or a sound, like sometimes while you're taking the shower or when you first turn it on, that sort of thing. That's usually more when it's running. So I would start with draining that system and refilling it and see if that takes care of that.
What now, when I drain them all, I drain them all out and then turn them back off and then slowly turn it out and then slowly turn them on.
Yep. Then you go to each. Yep. Go each to one. Each fixture and just slowly turn them all back on till it gets rid of all the air that's in the line. I would start in the basement and like turn the lowest fixtures on first, get all the air out of the line, shut it off, go upstairs, do it up there, work your way up to main floor. If there's a second floor, then go to the second floor and get all that air out of the lines as you work your way towards the top.
All right, I'll try that. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
all
it.
All right, no problem.
Bye.
Have a good one. Have a happy new year, too. So, yeah, that's definitely something that it's crazy how you can – I mean, sometimes when you've had plumbing work done, then you have something like that occur. But it can just occur just on its own, too, where you're like, I haven't done anything, and all of a sudden now I'm getting this happening. But then you just flush the system, change the air, get everything put back the way it should be, and then it stops. So it can just be something that kind of just happens. Doesn't necessarily mean you've done anything or you've changed much of anything, but it can happen more often, like when you've had work done. If you've had a shutoff replaced or a faucet replaced or a toilet worked on, then all of a sudden you're getting air inside the line and you start having that sort of thing happen to you. So, hey, we're going to jump into our final break here. Don't forget where you can find me, 314-436-7900. We'll take a short break and we'll have more for you right after these messages. All right. What's going on at your home? What do you need help with today? 314-436-7900. Last segment. Get in quick if you need something. We had a couple texts come in, and the first one was about the furnace, which, yes, they actually corrected me, which was good because I said thermocoupler, but what I meant was the flame sensor. It kind of does the same thing as like at the pilot light, but it's a sensor for the flame. So someone texted in, I appreciate that, got the words right for me. They said the flame sensor could be dirty. And yes, that is the part that my HVAC guy a couple of years ago guided me through on the phone, taking it off, cleaning it, and then seeing if it was working. And then like a week later, they came and just replaced it just to make sure it didn't start happening again. It is a good idea just to go ahead and get it replaced. But yeah, there's a sensor by that flame. And if it doesn't sense a flame and it knows that gas is running, it shuts that gas off. It's a safety precaution. You have to have it. It's a great thing. So that was figuring out that word for me, the clean the flame sensor, and that will probably get that furnace running for you and working good. So, and another text question that came in was banging noises from the water heater, which there's several different things that possibly that could be. The most common here in St. Louis is typically just because of our water, its minerals in the water, gets inside the tank. Sometimes it sounds like it's boiling in there, or it's kind of like someone's knocking on the tank side from the inside out. And typically you can try and flush that tank out, the water heater out, and refill it and see if there's a bunch of mineral white chunks that come out with it and everything. If you're to the point where that's happening, it's probably not going to correct it, because those minerals will get stuck in there. It'll get stuck around the bottom of the tank where it heats up and everything. And even if you flush it, you're not going to get 100% of everything out of there. And all those mineral chunks and everything in there is usually what's causing that. It's not an issue. It's not a huge problem, but it could be that first sign towards a new water heater coming pretty soon for you. But hey, we got Steve on the line. Let's jump to Steve and see what's happening there. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, how are we doing today? Thanks for taking my call. I was cleaning, I've got a hot water heater. It's only at best 2 years old. And the issue I'm having is I'm running out of hot water in my shower. And I was wondering if I just needed to flush that out, or do I need to consider replacing the heating element in there? I had problems like this with the old water heater, and yeah, there was a lot of iron buildup in the bottom down there that had to be cleaned out, and the heating element, lower heating element replaced.
Yep, I was just asking that same question about the noise that makes inside of that, like someone's banging or knocking inside that water heater, and from all of that, all the minerals, all of the chunks of stuff that gets in there. So yeah, Steve, I would definitely recommend for you maybe once or twice a year flushing that water heater out. I would start it as soon as possible and flush that out, clean it out, run everything out, and do that at least once a year. And another thing you might want to consider, if you are getting a lot out of that, is maybe consider getting a water softener if you don't have one that can remove a lot of that from the water so it won't happen quite as bad. I wouldn't get a water softener and think, yeah, now I can ignore that water heater, but flushing that water heater out once or twice a year would not be a bad idea and could possibly help that. I haven't really necessarily known that to be the case with the minerals in there of running out of hot water. So if that doesn't take care of it, then you're probably going to have to look in with the manufacturer on why is it, you know, running out of hot water so quickly. And one of the things you might also want to do with that is make sure how much hot water you're actually using, to make sure if the water heater is deficient, basically meaning, if you have a 50-gallon water tank and you're running hot water through your shower, well, how much hot water comes out of that shower in 1 minute, making sure you have the restrictors that you know, make you not use excess water where you're wasting hot water, but also calculating, because you could just be using it up too if someone's taking too long of a shower and the hot water heater just doesn't have that quick of a recovery. If one person goes and takes a shower and then 15 minutes later the water heater hasn't fully recovered, someone else does, then you're just running out. Sometimes it could just be the function of it as well for that in there. So that it could be one of those two things, but I'd start with flushing it out and see what happens.
I will definitely do that.
Do you have a water softener in your house?
No. See, I live in a modular home, so I don't have
a lot of space.
Water softener.
Yep. Yeah, there's other types you can get that might fit into tighter spaces. But I don't know that they're going to work as well, and that just may not be worth it. There's types that can go around the pipe and different things, but I'm not sold that they work as well as water softeners. So yeah, you might just be there keeping that flushing that water heater to like twice a year then.
I will definitely be doing that.
Yeah, check it out and see if that helps you, brother.
I certainly will.
All right,
hey,
Steve.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. I appreciate you calling. Have a happy new year. And really for everybody, great calls, great questions. A lot of texts coming in. You know, it's been a great year. This is the end of year two on KMOX for me. So I tell you, I've just the audience, the participation, how nice everybody is, how accepting everybody is, how appreciative everybody out there is really just great. I think it says a lot about St. Louis in general and as a group, as a whole, as a community. You know, it really is wonderful, and I just really appreciate, like, when Jill Worabek was on with me and James called in, and now she's going to see his bathroom and everything, and just everybody being so appreciative. Well, let me tell you, I appreciate you. And this show is about all you guys and everything that you've got going on. And it wouldn't be the same without everybody out there and your questions and your comments and your help. Help me get it right. Make sure I'm saying the right thing. Sometimes you're just kind of going. And so that's awesome. I really had a great year, a great second year, and can't wait to continue on into next year for everybody. So all I could say is, hey, be good to each other, be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next year. Have a good new year.